The doctrine of divine providence will deepen your reverence for God. It will steady you in trials. It will give you confidence as you face an uncertain future. It is the doctrine that underpins a life that glorifies God.
The universe is unimaginably large, and yet God upholds every square inch of it continuously. And all the while, He knows each and every one of us and has a plan for our lives. Welcome to the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm Bill Wright, and today we begin a series on God's sovereignty and providence called God Over All. Well, Don, I can tell you're very excited about this series.
I sure am, Bill. My friend, this series is immensely practical. The biblical teaching on divine providence will most certainly change your life. I know because it has changed mine, and it has been a powerful force in our family and in our church. You know, this teaching will help you to lay to rest bitterness and regret over your past. It will calm your fears over the future. My encouragement to you as you listen today is to let this truth sink in. Life won't be the same again. Bill, let's get started.
Okay, Don. And we'll do so right now here on The Truth Pulpit.
I was at my son Daniel's final football game of the season. And without going into all of the details, on the very last play of the game, not of the half, of the game, on the very last play, something went wrong and Daniel was on the ground. And I was standing on the field, and it happened across the field from me, so I was about 50 yards away. Didn't know at the start who exactly was down, but I knew it was one of our team's guys. And so, like any parent, you start doing the count and checking the numbers to make sure your guy is still standing. This is eight-man football, and so I'm able to count to seven, which was convenient at that time. So I count to seven, and I don't see Daniel's number five standing on the field, so I knew that it was him. You get kind of that sick feeling in your stomach. And as I'm walking across the field with this sick stomach, because it was obvious that something serious was wrong, one of the coaches that was around looks at me as I'm coming and says, "Call 911. That made a sick feeling almost very, very bad. And so I call 911, and I get a recording. You know, eventually Nancy was able to get 911 on the phone, and the paramedics came, and, well, times like this and times like that, when I'm standing on the field walking over to my fallen football player, make me glad to be a Bible-believing Christian, because I don't have to waste my energy on unanswerable questions like, what if that game had just ended one play sooner? What if this, or why that? I don't have to deal with any of that, and neither do you in the circumstances of your life if you're a true Christian, because if you believe the Bible, you believe that God controls everything that happens, even a serious injury on the last play of the last game of the season, even whatever fill-in-the-blank your situation is that you're dealing with. God is in control. God reigns. God rules. And even before Daniel had gotten hurt, in fact, as I was watching the game, I was thinking through what I was going to be teaching on divine providence, because that's what I'm going to be teaching on. I didn't realize at the time that I would have to draw upon it on such a personal level, but it reminds me of what James said, right? No one knows what I'm talking about. James says a lot of things. James says you don't know what your life will be like tomorrow. And therefore, he cautions us and admonishes us not to talk about how we're going to set up our big plans and what's going to happen next year and make a profit and all of that. Daniel's injury was a simple lesson in that. And so I'm thankful for the Lord's timing that he had me thinking along those lines before Daniel was injured, because I needed it. It helped me. But I'm even more thankful today because what I believe our time together is going to do for you. We are going to study the doctrine of divine providence together. And don't let the fancy name shine you off or turn you off if that sounds a little bit foreboding to you. It's not foreboding doctrine. It's one of the greatest comforts that any Christian could come to embrace and understand. The doctrine of divine providence will deepen your reverence for God. It will steady you in trials. It will give you confidence as you face an uncertain future. It is the doctrine that underpins a life that glorifies God, without question. Let me give you a working definition of providence. When I use the term divine providence, here's what we're talking about. The Bible teaches that God continually upholds His entire creation, and He sovereignly works in absolutely everything that happens, and thus directs all creatures and events to accomplish the purposes that He has established. There is nothing that happens anywhere in the universe that God is not directly involved in. And if you are a Christian and you know Him as your Heavenly Father, that is an enormous comfort, because it means the person who is at the helm of the ship of the universe, the person who is driving the car behind the steering wheel, is your Heavenly Father, who is wise and good and loving and never makes a mistake and is never unkind. I intend that definition to align completely with more technical definitions that you will find in Calvinistic theologies. So I'm not trying to distinguish anything from what Calvinists have traditionally taught. For us to study this is going to require a little bit of personal commitment from you. And here's why I say that. The doctrine of providence is so immense and so vast that it takes a lot of time simply to lay out the parameters of what you're talking about. What I need from you, what I'm asking you for, is to give me your attention and to give me your patience as we go through some of these things today. There are a lot of really hard questions that are associated with the doctrine of providence that I'm not going to get to today. I just want to articulate the doctrine in some of its richness. And so I need you to concentrate and to pay attention with me, because I know from personal experience how rich this is going to be to help you as you try to live for Christ. Think about it this way. Think about, if for those of you that are gardeners and like to plant gardens, whether it's fruits and vegetables or flowers that you like to have, think about having a plot of ground that you want to turn into a garden, but it hasn't been a garden before. You've got to move rocks, and you've got to till the soil. You've got to install irrigation and plow the ground before you can even begin to plant. And then after you plant, you have to tend those plants. You've got to give them time to grow. You've got to water them. It takes a lot of hard work before you get the benefit of it. But if you've ever eaten fresh vegetables out of a garden, you know how good it is, right? Studying the doctrine of providence is like that. You've got to do a lot of groundwork. But once you've done the groundwork of it, and you start to taste the fruit of it, and you start to develop a little bit of a perspective on what's happened in your life up until today, and you understand what the implications of that are as you look forward to the future, that you can look at the past without regret if you're a Christian, that you can look forward to the future with confidence without those nagging fears that assault us as we think about the uncertainties of what lie ahead. That's the kind of fruit that I want you to taste. See, I'm not doing this for academic purposes. I believe this has a real pastoral benefit for every one of you that's here today. And that's why I'm doing it. It's for the sake of your upbuilding. And so that's why we're doing this. And I want you to stay with me so that you can get the fruit that God intends to the fullest. So today what we're going to do is simply outline what the Bible teaches about God's providence. Very broad strokes. Because sometimes when you study divine providence, or when people talk about the sovereignty of God in the world or in their lives or whatever, they immediately run to the hardest questions before they've established the foundation of what the doctrine really means. And without that foundation, you can get kind of messed up and confused on the harder questions that come. Let's just get the foundation straight in our mind, And then we can deal with the hard questions that come. So, remember what the doctrine of divine providence means. I'll say it once more. God continually upholds his entire creation and sovereignly works in absolutely everything that happens, and thus directs all creatures and events to accomplish the purposes that he has established. You fit in that definition. Every good thing, every bad thing, every uncertain thing in your life fits under that definition. Every single thing fits right there. You want a unifying principle to the universe? This is it. This is it. Now, what I want to do today is give you three simple principles to help you understand some of the implications of divine providence. But three principles to kind of lay out an outline for divine providence for the Christian today, and in any age for that matter. Point number one that I want you to write down, our first point for today, is this. God's providence is broad. B-R-O-A-D. God's providence is very, very broad. Turn to the book of Ephesians with me, if you will. We're just going to kind of bounce from a couple of passages back and forth just to kind of get an overview of what the Bible says about this. Ephesians chapter 1. God's providence is broad. It covers everything in the universe. And sometimes when you're reading Scripture and you're going through a daily Bible or something like that, you read something like this passage quickly and you kind of gloss over the show-stopping impact it should have on your heart. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. Paul here in this chapter, in verses 3 through 14, is praising God. Look at verse 3. I know I said verse 9, but hey, I made a mistake, okay? I think you'll get over it. That was all in the providence of God. Any mistake I make here, I've got a fallback position, so I'm in good shape here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul starts out this letter saying, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." That is his starting point in this magnificent section. Verses 3 through 14 is one sentence in the original Greek language. And the whole starting point, everything that unfolds after verse 3 is simply support and a further explanation of why we should bless God and praise him from the depths of our hearts. And so Paul starts out, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Part of the reason that you should praise God and love him and worship him is found in verse 9, and this is where we're going to focus in for our purposes today. Paul says, Ephesians 1, verse 9, he says, "He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times." That is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. It's absolutely comprehensive what Paul is talking about here. The end of verse 10, he says, "In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will." Paul says that God is in the process of administrating everything that happens in heaven and on earth. One day he is going to sum up all things in Christ. Everything will be subjected to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything in heaven, everything on earth. That covers it all. And when he says to sum up, it's a word that means to summarize. It's a word that's used as a summary that brings a focal point to the end of the speech, kind of like an attorney's closing argument where he gathers up all of the evidence and points all of the evidence and brings it together in a way that shows why his client should be vindicated or that you should rule in favor of his client. That's kind of the idea. It shows how each part, this word to sum up, shows how each part relates to the complete argument, the complete picture. What Paul is saying is that God is going to sum up every part, every detail in the universe and in the history of ever since creation. All of that is going to come up together and fit into the grand overarching purpose that he established before the foundation of the world. That's a mouthful. That is magnificent. That is glorious. God is moving everything in heaven and earth to his predetermined end, in which everything will be subjected to the absolute authority of Jesus Christ. It's all going to be summed up in him. And there at the end of verse 11, look at it with me again. We can't do this passage justice, but look at it again at the end of verse 11. He says, he works all things after the counsel of his own will. Everything. Nothing thwarts the powerful, omnipotent will of God. He always accomplishes what he intends. He directs everything so that it accomplishes his purposes. Now, remember that I said the point that we're discussing here is that God's providence is broad. Paul here in this passage does not get specific about the nature of God's providence in these verses. He's simply stating it in the broadest, grandest, most spectacular, unqualified way that he possibly can. But this isn't the only place that the Bible says things like this, where this universal providence of God, this universal rule of God over all, is affirmed throughout the Scriptures. Let me just give you two or three other passages to tie this to. I'll just read this first one. Psalm 103, verse 19. Psalm 103, verse 19 says, "The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all." That's Psalm 103, verse 19. Turn over a couple of pages. If you're still in Ephesians, turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Again, we're just preparing the garden here so that we can talk more specifically in the days to come. We're laying groundwork. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation." Now look at verse 16 and 17. "For by him," or "in him," "all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him." There's that universal rule idea again. All things are going to be subjected to Christ. Verse 17, "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." One like verse like it, what I just read. Turn over to the book of Hebrews, and I'll try to tie this together for you. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Any decent discussion of providence is going to deal with these verses that I'm sharing with you today. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, again talking about Christ, says, "He is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his nature, and he upholds all things by the word of his power." Let me try to bring a little bit of this together. God's providence, God's rule, is as broad as you can possibly imagine. When the Bible says all things, it means all things, without exception. Over and over again, the Bible says that God reigns over all. He gives life to all. The book of Acts says, in Acts chapter 17, says that in him we live and move and have our being. It's in him that we breathe. Every breath of every creature comes from the hand of God. He gives life to all. He holds all things together in Christ. He moves all things to achieve his purposes. This is what we're talking about in part when we say we must have a high view of God. We don't serve a weak, defenseless deity that struggles to keep all of the balls up in the air as he's juggling everything around. He is in perfect, absolute control of everything that happens, without exception. and he directs it all to accomplish his purposes. This is holy ground that we're standing on. We ought to be taking our shoes off as we think about these things. Beloved, look up in the sky above you. The sun and the stars stay in their orbit because God actively and purposefully holds them there. It's not like the deists used to teach and how God kind of wound things up and then threw it off into the distance and he doesn't bother himself with it anymore. We can calculate seasons and 365 and one quarter days to each year because God actively designs the stars to move that way. He intelligently, he purposefully upholds it all moment by moment without exception. Your arms stay attached to your body because God keeps them in place. The chair that you're sitting in upholds you because God causes it to do so. All things hold together in Him. All things are upheld by the power of the Word of Christ. Now, listen to me, beloved. A person could not deny God's active rule over all of creation without denying the Bible. I'm leaving out a lot of other things just for the sake of time that would point us in the same direction. Now, very few of you here today, very few of you are even inclined in the direction that you would want to deny God's active rule over all of creation. So I'm not going to fight a battle and go into a whole lot more detail over a battle that the Spirit of God has already won in your heart. Most of you, in one way or another, would affirm that. If not, then you've got some things that you can go home and meditate on and work out in your heart before the Lord. I'm not going to waste my time today addressing the foolishness and stupidity of atheists, except to say that they couldn't even talk their senseless vanities unless God was giving them their breath to do so. They can only say what they say as God gives them the strength and breath to say what they say. One day they will find out. And one day their foolishness will be exposed for the emptiness that it is. God's providence is broad. Most of you here today believe that. And so I'm going to leave it at that for today. Here's what I've become convinced of as I've been around for a while, not as long as many of you, but here's what I've been convinced of as I talk with people and as I see things in my own heart and as I live my own life and deal with issues and get discouraged and so forth. Where I think that you and I fight the battle, where you and I lack as we consider God's providence, is in the details. We can affirm on a general level, God is sovereign and God reigns over all. And we would be quick to affirm that. But when it comes to the details, particularly as they relate to the difficulties of your own life, I think that we betray ourselves and we haven't worked it through all the way. We're a little bit inconsistent. We say it's over all things, but we have regrets about our past. We worry about what might happen in the future, either in the world at large or in our own personal circumstances. What's going to happen to my kids, my grandkids? And we fret over that kind of stuff. We fret on that level. That is the ground that I want to conquer in your heart through the Word of God. That's the ground I want God to conquer. It has nothing to do with me. That is the ground what you say you believe is working itself out a little bit inconsistently. For some of you, a lot inconsistently. I say this as a friend, I say this as one to encourage you, but I want you to see where I think the battleground lies. The battleground lies in those issues that trouble your heart and you haven't brought to full bear the assurance and comfort of divine providence that God is actively controlling and working in everything in the universe, including those details that bug you the most. That's where we want to go.
It's hard enough to multitask in our earthbound jobs. Can you imagine managing every aspect of a universe from the smallest subatomic particle to the largest galaxy? But that's the God we serve. Powerful, yes, but more importantly, loving and gracious to us. Pastor Don Green continues his message, God Overall, next time on The Truth Pulpit. Join us then. Well, Don, what you've taught today is that nothing ultimately happens to us apart from God.
My brother or sister in Christ, I know that you know Romans 8:28, where it says that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Well, God can make that unconditional promise to His people because He is in control of all things. He directs everything to accomplish His purpose, and His purpose is always good for us. Join us next time as we study this further on The Truth Pulpit.
And friend, we hope you'll visit us at thetruthpulpit.com, where you can learn how to get a free CD copy of today's lesson. Again, that's at thetruthpulpit.com. I'm Bill Wright. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you back here next time on The Truth Pulpit.